I have to say, Dan, it makes a nice change not to have something said about my name. So I will say it now. My middle initial is F. Equally, I was very busy on one evening in December. So if you didn't get a present from me, don't blame me. Obviously, you weren't good enough for that present. The sad thing is that I was a death centre manager and a death centre coach at Worcester, but as of Friday, our centre closed for various reasons. So I come here today as a speaker for CAP because I still believe in all that CAP stands for. I still believe it has the answers to people who are in debt. I still believe it has the answers to people who are without Christ in this life. And I come to you here today to issue you a challenge. Some of what I might say and some of what you might see, you may find uncomfortable. Because perhaps for the first time in your life, something will hit you here. And it will say, this is what people are facing in the world in which I live. This is what people are facing in the street where you live, in your home place, in your workplace. You know, that reading we had today from Deuteronomy. Not many of us read Deuteronomy, do you? But I have to say, at the end of the day, there's some incredible words there in that passage about poverty and about our attitude to the poor. That was given to the people of Israel so that they might know what God wants them to do. That they might know how God wants them to act in the world in which they live. Nothing, that has not changed. I want you to take to heart some of those words from Deuteronomy today as a mission statement for you to reach out to the areas in which you live. He said all debts are to be cancelled. Right at the beginning of that, all debts are to be cancelled. Can you imagine even today the relief when people get their debts cancelled? When they get that phone call and they play the harmonicas, some of you might have seen it, you're all looking at me blankly, but apparently when someone gets debt free, they phone up the client and they play harmonicas down the phone, which is a strange thing, but it's their way of rejoicing with them. They wanted a way, find a way which said, this is a celebration. This is an opportunity to give thanks because now you are debt free. Deuteronomy says also, when you happen to see someone in trouble and need help, don't look the other way, pretending you don't see them. We're all guilty of that sometime. Sometimes when I walk down the streets of Worcester and I see the homeless, I look at them, but I turn away. There are always going to be poor and needy people among you. That will always be the case. What is the case today is how we react and we respond to those poor and needy around us. Don't forget for a minute that you were once slaves in Egypt and God, your God, redeemed you from that slave world. Don't forget that once you were without Christ, once you were lost, perhaps once you were in debt, and God has sorted that out for you. Don't forget that. Because that will be your incentive to go and reach others that are in that situation. Then in Luke, as Jesus stood in the temple and he said these words, he's chosen me to preach the message of good news to the poor, sent me to announce pardon to prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the burdened and the battered free. This is the year to act from the Message Bible. I want us today to focus on two words only from that. To set the burdened and the battered free. And the last sentence which says, this is the year to act. This is the month to act. This is the time to act. Do you know today that there are many people outside of here who are burdened? They are weighed down with their debt, with their unemployment, with their addictions. So weighed down, if you ever met them, you would see them curling up inside themselves. So pressed down. So burdened that they feel that there is no way to escape that weight that's upon them. But also they're battered. Battered by the constant phone calls, the constant knocking at the door, the constant visit from bailiffs trying to take something off them. Those people get pushed down further and further. I think I would add another one B to that, and that's beaten. Because a lot of these people at the end of the day feel they are beaten. Feel that there is no way out. There is no hope. There is no satisfaction. There is no way that they can get their situation sorted. Today, trust me, there are people who live in your street. Maybe in your family, in your workplace, in this town of Malvern, who are sitting in their rooms tonight and feel just like that. Maybe they've got no lights on because they can't afford electricity. Maybe their tea tonight was a dry piece of bread because they wanted the lights on. Maybe they keep the curtains drawn because they don't want people to know that actually they're there. I had a client once who never turned the lights on. He said, that way I have the telly round so low I can hardly hear it. But then if anyone else comes by, they don't know I'm there. I won't be troubled by the bailiffs. Behind closed doors, people who are struggling, battered and burdened. And I suppose what I am here for today is somehow, with God's help, to give you a passion for those sort of people. I don't want any of us here tonight, and I can say this because it's freedom, isn't it? I'm like Dan, I don't stand by tradition. I want everyone here tonight to go away with something that actually stirs them to do something. It actually stirs them to go out and help those that are burdened and those that are battered. Whatever it might be, at the end of the service, Chris will speak and say, how you can help. I want to see a queue waiting to see him at the end. People so eager, there's a rush, not just a rush to go and get the tea and coffee, which will be quite pleasant, but a rush to get out the door just to say, actually, I want to do that. Because today, God has laid on my heart a passion and a desire for the lost and for those that are burdened. I'm no longer a deck coach, but it doesn't stop me from trying to say, share that passion with other people. Because I still care for those. I still do food bank for that very reason. We're going to see a short DVD now, which is the story of one person who actually felt like that. Hopefully it works. You know, whenever I see that video, it never ceases to touch me there. It never ceases to nearly bring tears to my eyes, because I know that's what people feel like. They feel like they're drowning, without hope, unable to breathe, unable to live. The life that those people live is not the life that God wants them to have. It's not the life that God ever intended them to have. Pressed down, burdened and battered. They feel like they're drowning. Feel like there is no hope. But in that video you notice that there came a moment where suddenly in the peacefulness she realized she was loved. And she realized that someone had actually reached out and heard her cry and brought her out of that, and out of the darkness into light, out of death into life. Can you hear that cry? Lord, help me. Maybe that cry is Morven, help me. Maybe you could put your own name there, whatever that name is, help me. It's a cry of anguish, a cry of hopelessness. A cry that says, if you don't, I'm done for. One in three clients we have attempt suicide. The rest of them are usually depressed and anxious and have mental health issues for that very reason of just being pressed down. But today there is hope, because Christians Against Poverty have seen and heard that cry, and they can bring a change and a transformation to people's lives. I just want to share with you two very brief stories of clients. One of them is, her name is Natalie. I met Natalie, must be 3 years ago now. She'd come out of an abused relationship, escaped that, and now was in a flat. Inherited loads of debts in her husband's name, not hers, but someone else's. And to this day, I can still recall seeing her as I first met her for the first time. There was a lady in her late 20s, and yet she looked like she was 40 to 50. It looked like the world was on her shoulders. It looked like it was like hunched up with the weight that she felt. But the thing that really got me was when I looked at her face, there was no joy. There was no laughter. And I looked into her eyes, and her eyes just looked dead and lifeless. And I remember sitting there and we started to talk and to share and we prayed with her. And it was amazing. By the end of that first visit, you could start seeing her full shoulders start to unravel a little bit. She started to relax a bit. Because for the first moment in her life, she actually got a glimmer of hope. That maybe, just maybe, someone's heard my cry and there is a way out. I always remember the second visit, she put all the paperwork on the table. There was quite a lot of it. And she kept passing it to me and I kept putting it away in my bag. And at the end of it, there was nothing left on the table. And as I put the last piece of paper away, I heard her crying. And there were tears pouring down her face. I said, "What's the matter? We're going to sort this." She said, "I know. Because now as I look at that table, there's nothing there. They've gone. I know they haven't, but it seems like they're gone." That lady's life has been transformed. She's still working through her debt. But to crown it all, which I think is even more incredible, she came to an event we had, and someone preached the gospel. Someone said at the end, "If you want to accept Jesus, put your hand up." And she did. She will get baptized one day, but now, not only is she getting to be debt-free, but she's also in the kingdom of God. That's what Christians Against Poverty, with God's help, had done for that one woman and countless across the land. The other chap I had, he must have been in his 60s. And when he was in 2007, he had a nervous breakdown. So much so that he just couldn't cope with life. Certainly couldn't cope about worrying about whether he should be claiming benefits or not. 2 years down the line, the benefit office said, "Hang on, we have overpaid you. We've given you too much money. We want it back." So for the next years until I met him, so that's another 10 years, he fought the council saying, "This is what happened." And the council refused, took him to court. And even the judge said, "It wasn't fraudulent." And I remember seeing him, and the first words he said to me, he said, "I'm trying you because you might be able to help me. But I don't have much hope that you will. Because for 10 years I've been trying to do it. I've asked so many other people to help me through that." And I still remember the time when I could go back with the budget and say to him, "We can help you. And because you're not fraudulently claimed that benefit, we can get all those benefits, all those debts wiped away. You will be debt free once the bankruptcy comes through." And you know, what is strange is, how many times does that reduce people to tears? I suppose it's the pent-up feeling of pressure for the whole years, and suddenly, it's going to happen. He still struggles. He's got mental health issues. I remember when he was there, and I was talking to him, I said, "Is there anything we could do for you?" He said, "Well, I've got a rattly old bike. The brakes don't work. In fact, I don't think there was one bit on this bike that actually did work." And he always used it to go and visit his mum, who was bedbound. So I put out a thing on Facebook. I said, "Has anyone got a bike you don't want?" And the family from our church was actually going to Australia. I said, "Yeah, we got one. 10 speed gears, whatever that is. Brand new." And I remember when I'd done the budget, I said to John, "I've got a prezi for you." "Oh, that's nice," he said. I took him downstairs. Hadn't got a clue, had he? Opened the boot. I said, "There you go." I've never known a man who could talk a lot, just like me, was so speechless and in tears again. You see, CAP doesn't just meet people in their debt. CAP actually says, "Hang on, there's an issue here. If I can, I will feed them. If I can, we will provide for them. We had another client whose settee, basically Fiona, my debt center manager, wouldn't sit on it because it would have been too dangerous to sit on. But we managed to find a settee for him. Sometimes, you know, we can use loads of words, but other times it's the action that we take and the fact that we care not just to get them out of debt, but we care for them as a person and we support them through that. That's just two of the people that we've seen go debt free. That's just two of the hundreds that CAP has seen go debt free. Six a day go debt free. But that's the tip of the iceberg. Your debt centre can only manage three a month. Three to four a month. That's, well, let's say 50 a year. That's all, 50. But trust me, that 50 and the difference it makes to those 50 is unbelievable. Not just to them, but to their families, to their workplaces, to their relationships, to every area of life that they exist in, and to them as a person. Our centre is closed. But I was saying to Dan earlier, every time I look at those two people now worshipping with us, and I'm tempted to say, was it worth 5 years of my life? I'll say, yes, Lord, it was. Just for what difference it made to those two people and the difference it made to so many more. Now, I'm hoping today that something I've said, something that's happened in this service, something you've seen has touched your heart too. I'm not going to get people to put their hands up or anything like that. But what I would ask is, if that's you, ask God what you want him to, what he wants you to do. There's so many ways you can help. You can pray. Chris and Denise definitely need prayer. Trust me. You can pray for the centre. You can pray for CAP. If you can't do anything, you can give financially to support that centre. But get involved. I'm sure that Chris could find you a little niche, a little job, wherever. I don't think anyone here, if all of you tonight went and saw him, I'm relying on you here, if you went to, he would say, yeah, you could do this for me. Or you could do that. There are so many jobs that he needs help with. It's not just going out to see clients. And trust me, if you go out and see clients, your life will never be the same. I had befrienders and they said, oh, well, I'm not sure. They went out and saw a client and after that they were clamouring to do it again and again. Because for the first time in their lives, they actually saw it for real. Because we visit in the home, we see that there's no furniture, there's no decoration, it's a mess. And they're a mess. But we're there for them. And we pray with them. How many times, when was the last time you prayed with someone? Challenge you perhaps to do that. I prayed with every client I had. I've had people in tears because they've never been prayed for. Will you today hear their cry? Will you today hear that voice that says, help me, save me, make a difference to my life? Because if you don't, I've got nowhere to go.